Welcome to Thursday Night Talk. I'm Jacqueline Debits, your host. On the second Thursday nights of the month, we focus on innovations and business and how our economy is developing in Humboldt County and the Redwood Coast economy. Tonight, my guests are entrepreneurs in the niche manufacturing industry. These people, women actually, as it turns out, in our guests tonight, are leading companies that design and make products in Humboldt and then export them all over the United States and the world. So how do they track global trends? How do they innovate products from behind the Redwood Curtain? How do you know what people want to buy? That's what we want to get into. The niche manufacturing industry is one of our targets of opportunity industries and the county's economic development strategy. It's one of the fastest growing industries and highest paying on the Redwood Coast region. It grew jobs at 33% in our last report compared to the region as a whole, which lost jobs at 6.1 when the recession started. So it pays 42% higher than the regional average. You can learn more about the targets of opportunity at northcoastprosperity.com. And if you click on blogs and look for targets of opportunity report published, you will find it there. I am the Economic Development Coordinator for the county and one of the authors of this report, along with Dennis Mullins of California Employment Development Department. We invite you to join the conversation tonight on Thursday Night Talk. Let's introduce our guests. We have Kimberly Hudson of Propulsion.
Correct.
And many other companies we'll hear soon. And Jess McGinty from Jessica Curl.
Hello.
And Charlie Jordan of Mad River Brewing Company.
Hello.
All right. So, Kimberly, you started 13 different companies.
Yes, this is my 13th.
This is your 13th.
I like to start them. Then I like to give them to someone else or disband them because they don't work so well.
Oh, okay. The first one, you were 17 years old, right?
Correct.
And including you've been an angel investor.
Correct.
Okay. So, tell us how you got started. What made you start a company?
Well, I was fortunate that I grew up with a dad that was an entrepreneur. Well, he was in the oil company, oil business most of my childhood, and then got into entrepreneurship as I got older. Mm-hmm. And I worked for him throughout junior high and high school. And so I learned finances and I learned how to run a business. And that's pretty invaluable training. When I graduated from high school, I decided I wasn't ready for college. And back then, very few people went and toured Europe for a year before you went to college. So I started my own business.
All right. What was that business back then?
Window washing.
Window washing. Nice. Nice. It's good to start with a simple one.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, yeah. I do this service, you pay me this much.
Exactly. And then 3 years after that, I decided that I didn't like paying retail for my supplies and having to get them shipped in, because where I was living at the time, there was not a janitorial supply. So I started a janitorial supply so that I could buy wholesale and make money selling to other people.
All right.
Made sense to me.
Okay. Keep going. Tell us how this evolved.
Gosh, I've done everything from specialty woodworking, doing signage and whatnot for companies out of alternative wood products or alternatives to wood products. So sunflower seed hulls that are pressed, or bamboo or things like that that mm-hmm. are not as heavily of a footprint on the planet. Mm-hmm. So signage, racks, things like that for stores out of that. Like you said, I've been an angel investor. I have owned part of a trucking company. I've done a little bit of everything.
Okay. And so now with Propulsion, mm-hmm. you've got an app and beta testing.
Correct.
You've got a product going into production in December.
Correct.
That you're licensing, right?
So. No. We have a product that's going into production in December, and mm-hmm. it will be, hopefully, that's our plan, spec'd into HUD properties as well as other multi-unit properties that mm-hmm. the tenants are not responsible for their own energy usage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So can you tell us about that product?
Not yet.
Not yet.
After we launch in December, I can.
Okay. About protection of products. We definitely want to get there tonight.
Absolutely. And on that note, we do have two products, one of which we have the patent for and another one that we have a provisional patent for, that this week, actually tomorrow, the paperwork's going in to actually file for our patent. So... and the one that we already have a patent on, it looks like we're going to end up licensing that to another company, because none of us have the three principles in propulsion, do not have experience manufacturing overseas, and that is a whole different ballgame. And we don't feel comfortable for our first product on the market to be delving into something that we don't have that expertise in. Mm-hmm. And it's just too expensive to, the product's too, it's a workout product and it's too expensive to produce here in the States. Unfortunately, we've tried very hard.
Yep. So lots of choices there. So I want to get Jess and Charlie into the conversation, because a lot of things we want to talk about are for everybody. So Jess is what I would call the soul sister of curly hair, right?
All right.
Okay, there's a lot of curly hair in here, and if mine was longer, it'd be curly too.
It's like that. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so curly hair women today.
Song, like, one of these things is not like the other.
For now, that is absolutely true.
But your baby has that adorable curly hair.
He does, I know, and he needs help with it sometimes. So Jessicurl is the product to go to for curly hair. How did you come up with this?
By accident. You know, this wasn't on purpose. It wasn't planned out. It wasn't like, what kind of business can I start? It kind of goes back really far. They were really mean to me in high school, made me feel really bad about my hair on a daily basis, called me names like Mushroom Head and Chia Pet and Brillo Head, Brillo Pad.
Mine was Medusa.
Oh my God, right? We all had it. What was yours? Did you have this experience?
You know, I had shorter hair, and so it was like a fro.
Right.
So all my friends like thought I was totally cool.
Right on.
Oh, your timing
was
good.
Because of the timing. Yeah. Right. Yeah. See, that's those that couple works. Years of difference in our age made it make, well, you lucked out, because we had
No. Yeah, well, the long straight wasn't happening. So
yeah, that's all we had. This was like, yeah, and so it made me really self-conscious, and you know, it kind of went pretty deep into that self-esteem aspect of it, and I translated that into like a hatred of myself sort of thing. And then somewhere in my early 20s, I was like, you know what? I'm tired. Like, it takes a lot of energy to hate yourself that much about something that is, it's just hair, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, I just sort of like, and I had an epiphany one day, like, I'm just tired of hating this thing that's growing out of my head, and we needed to kind of coexist better. And so, you know, I need to get along with this stuff better. And so I Googled curly hair, because I figured there's got to be something, like, maybe, I don't know what I thought I was looking for, but somehow the internet was going to provide it. And I found this website called naturallycurly.com with a message board of people who talk about curly hair. And I was like, oh my, so I really, it wasn't just, this is awesome. And so, but mainly what they talk about are products. And so I was buying all these products and it wasn't working. But one day I found a recipe for hair gel made out of flax seeds. And I thought, that would be rad if I could just make my own hair gel. I wouldn't, I could, I'd be self-sufficient, basically, when it comes to this stuff.
This hair.
This hair is
hair,
like a whole other entity that comes out this way. And it didn't really work, but I had started putting other ingredients in, and one day it was just this miracle. Like, my hair finally looked like I'd wanted, and so I went back to that website, and I was like, oh my God, you guys, here's the recipe for this crazy stuff I just made up, you know, trying to share the love with the curly sisterhood. And they were not having that. They were like, can't I just buy some from you? So that is how, so the customers really sort of forced me into business from that early stage. And you know, the labels were taped on and the ink ran off in the shower and people kept buying it. And that was 11, it'll be 11 years in September.
Wow.
So, I don't know, that's how old I am, but that's the story. So it was definitely born out of need and not just trying to decide.
Desire.
What I was going to do.
I guess desire.
Yeah, desire too. Desire to look
and following
good.
Your customers' desires.
Right. Yep. The customers I didn't even know I had until I started. So that's how we became
And now you're here in Humboldt. That wasn't even here.
That's
you
right.
came here because you love Humboldt.
That's right?
right.
I started in Berkeley. Yeah. And within the first year, it was really obvious that I needed to move because we needed more space for less money, wanted to buy or, you know, hire some employees, pay a living wage, and none of that was going to happen in the Bay Area. And I had always loved it here. And so I had wanted to live here for about 8 years before, but all I ever heard was there's no jobs. So I wasn't going to move and try to wait tables or whatever. And so I saw it as like, this is when I finally get to move to Humboldt. So it turned, and I didn't even know about, I just thought the trees were pretty and the people were cool. You know, I didn't even know about all the amazing small business support and the community. Don't even get me started on the community right now, all right? But the community support and all of that was just overwhelmingly amazing. So, yeah, I moved here 10 years ago.
Fabulous. Thank you. And Charlie.
Hey.
Charlie Jordan has been the executive in many companies here. including Yakima, Los Bagels, and founded and co-owner of Kinetic Coffee.
Yep.
Now CEO of Mad River Brewing Company.
It's a fun job.
That's so good.
That's I love good. Product testing.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You can invite us over for product testing anytime, Charlie.
Absolutely. You guys consider yourself invited.
Yeah, it's too bad the FCC rules prevent that this evening.
Afterwards.
Yeah. So, what do you love about starting and running these export-oriented entrepreneurial companies? What do you love about it?
I love solving the problem. Like Jess was saying, there's a desire or a need out there, and then helping people to resolve that and solve it. And also, Kimberly, serial entrepreneurial, I was fortunate that I had a background in product development, which basically as a serial entrepreneur, mm-hmm. you just get to make new stuff. Like, oh, look, they need this. We'll go do that. Yeah, and then
Isn't
you do,
fun?
And then somebody else gets to just churn it out. But, yeah, so it's very rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually very creative mm-hmm. in a lot of different areas, and you get to work with some amazing people.
All right. Anybody else? What do you love about it?
Which aspect?
About being in business.
I love the emails that I get from people of all different ages. I can't really cite if I like the younger email, emails from the younger people better than the older ones. But when I get people saying they're in their 60s and they finally like their hair because of my products, mm-hmm. that's amazing. You know, or young women who like their hair. You know, I like to get them young. Like I like to get them before they go through all that hell that I did. So that. You know, that's pretty amazing to get to have a role in helping people feel better about themselves. Because even though it is just hair, I mean, we all know it's not just hair.
Mm-hmm.
That when you look good, you feel good kind of thing. So,
right. Mm-hmm. What do you love about Kimberly?
Like Charlie said, I love the creativity. I love getting in there and the collaboration with other people. And the joining of skills to make something, to birth something, because that's what you're doing. You're really birthing a new idea or a new business. And it's euphoric.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Selfishly, it's euphoric.
I think it's exciting. At least I get a lot of satisfaction when somebody says, oh, my God, your coffee was the best. And, you know, I didn't get an upset stomach and it was really wonderful. Or your beer was amazing and I don't drink anything else. Or whatever it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put together racks. I didn't, you know, roast the coffee. I didn't brew the beer. But I had a part in making sure that it happened. And the people that did do that have this passion typically. At mm-hmm. least in my experience, they have. There's a high quality. They love it. There's, you know, all those things that come along with, you know, or go along with a passion for producing their product. And you get to have a hand in clearing away any obstacles or making sure that it gets to consumers or, you know, and getting out there in the, it's, yeah, into the world. And mm-hmm. it really is. I mean, it sounds silly, but it's really fulfilling to do that. And I really love when people come back. And regardless of who it is, you know, like Jess was saying, the customers genuinely say, oh, this is so great. Thank you for doing that. Because they don't know how to do that. And I think it is, for the most part, genuine.
So, well, and also the majority of people out there, unfortunately, don't want to start their own business. Like you said, your customers didn't want to make it themselves.
I gave them the recipe.
I know.
I don't anymore.
You've deleted those now,
yeah,
right?
I deleted those.
It's a company secret now.
But yeah, they don't want to do it.
No, yeah. And it's wonderful to be able to provide something, whether it be a service or a product, that somebody needs and somebody wants, and it makes their day-to-day life better or easier or more joyful or more fun.
Yeah.
And I think in the larger arena, from my perspective, managing an organization, and you guys may have the same thing going for you and your companies, but that's wonderful to take somebody that says, I can do this, I don't know how to do this really creative thing here or talk to customers because I'm shy or whatever, but I'm really good at this one thing, and you give them an opportunity to do that, and they get to be a hero in their story, in their life, and in your organization, and that's also very wonderful and fulfilling. And I think especially up here on the North Coast where, you know, as you were saying earlier, there are no jobs. So somebody that comes up here that really wants to live here, or even, you know, locals that were born and raised, what are they going to do, you know, in our
Well, you're creating jobs for them, right?
Exactly. That's my point. Yeah. And that's very, very fulfilling.
It is very fulfilling to look around and go, wow, these people couldn't pay their rent. These people couldn't be here. They couldn't live here without these businesses. Mm. It's pretty special.
Yes. Yeah.
So that creating a product and feeling it, that seems, there's something particular to manufacturing that evokes that passion. Have you seen her? Do you know the difference I'm talking about?
Yes. I think it's called instant gratification. I do put these things together and poof, there I have something. And I think that's a lot of it. You know, mm-hmm. I really do. I think that it's the ability to physically see, you know, something that's been created and handed off. I mean, Jess, you literally do that. So,
well, personally, I don't anymore. I mean, we have
but you did.
Staff,
right?
You know, right. And I mean that I envy that now. Because at the end of the day, when you make the product, you do see the fruits of your labor. And when you're doing sales and marketing, at the end of the day, you kind of don't necessarily. You know, you put in your effort and maybe that'll come back to you in a week or two or mm-hmm. you don't know. But when you make a batch of conditioner, you have it at the end of the
batch.
Day.
Yeah.
So I envy that part at this point, actually.
I was thinking of Bruce Hamilton when I said that, who with Wildwood Guitars, and if you've ever, Wildwood Manufacturing, if you ever walk through there, and I know Bruce just, he has to make things.
Yes.
Like he said that, I just have to do this. And he's always running the company, but for him, there's a great, very deep connection to the product.
Absolutely. I'm fortunate that I can pop in and get my hands on a roast. I am not a roaster, but I get my hands on and do that, and it's like, oh, look, I packaged this. I'm so cool, but I'm not, you know. It's just like, and then go in and walk through the brewery and, you know, mm-hmm. have a conversation and get scheduled. I'm scheduled to actually do a brew. That'll be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I know you guys should come out and drink the beer.
Oh, I love that beer.
That'd be great.
My brewmaster is cringing right now.
Like, I didn't authorize
that. Girls brewing group. I want to make lambic.
Yes.
Ooh. I told you I want to make lambic, and I'm going to have a lot of raspberries in about 3 weeks.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So how do you know? How do you know what people need out there? How are you getting that?
I know I've always just had a deep sense about it, but also gone through and talked to people in the community. Just like you said, Jess, when your customers come to you saying, this is what we need.
Oh, yeah.
And they That's tell one me, of our products yeah. that we're working on right now, what we're launching in December. We had somebody come to us and say, this is what we need. Now, once they did that, and we just happened to have an intern that was working on a similar project, so it fit. And in this creative kind of manufacturing business starting thing, so many things like that happened. that are just fortuitous, that, oh, look, we have an intern working on this, and you need this. Perfect, let's join these. Oh, look, we just went to dinner and saw somebody that works on wireless stuff. We need that. Let's pull you in. Things just start to happen. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, going and talking to people, talking to your customers, you know, it's really powerful to go talk to even chambers of commerce, organizations like that, mm-hmm. And find out, get your finger on the pulse of what people are wanting. Mm-hmm. Read publications, look at blogs. There's so much information out there these days. There's so many people talking about so many different things. There's too many things. I mean, I have so many business ideas. I keep on trying to give them away to people. Really, if you want to start a business, come talk to me. I've got so many ideas.
I think that's a really important piece, though. Some people look at a need or a problem or what, you know, and their mind works that way. And they're like instantly go to problem solving and go, we could do X, Y, Z. Or have you tried it doing this way? Or have you change things up, you know, in such a way that you put these pieces in together in a different way, right? And you come up with a different outcome.
Absolutely.
Right. I think there are people that just think that way. Mm-hmm. And I also believe those are the people that gravitate toward being entrepreneurs and being in the creative realm.
It's a different habit of mind.
It is.
To be looking for opportunity.
It's all around, but one person may be overwhelmed by it with lots of, right, like Kimberly is saying, with lots and lots of ideas, and another person, they wouldn't see it. They don't see the forest for the trees. Mm-hmm. They just, that's not how they see it. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you're of the mindset that you're always out there looking or listening, or you hear it in a certain way, it's just you hear that differently. Somebody hears, oh yeah, that's a problem, huh? You've got curly hair, and other person goes, oh, you've got curly hair, I can help with that. Yeah.
Well, and another thing, I don't know if you ladies find this, being an entrepreneur and either owning your business or working for a business that is kind of a part of you. It's more time, it's more energy, it's more effort, but it doesn't feel like it.
Mm-hmm. It's fun.
It's fun. Okay. Exactly. The end of the day, you leave, you're like, yeah,
I got to do this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It's pretty special. And like you said, that is a different kind of mindset. That's a different kind of person.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe a different kind of community.
Absolutely.
We have a lot of business startup here. Mm-hmm. Very high rate of entrepreneurship going on in Humboldt County.
And we feel really fortunate. Our offices are located in the Link. And I don't know if you ladies are familiar with the the old Yakima building. Yes. Of course you are, Charlie. And it's this wonderful collaborative business space that we share not only office space with one another. We all have our individual offices. We share a printer. We share, kitchen, all of that. But also, we're all collaborative businesses. And so we end up walking across the hall and going, hey, I'm working on my financials for this product. How much would it be for you to build this kind of a website, an e-commerce website? Can you just off the top of your head give me a number so I can put it in my business plan?
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I want to live with you guys.
Well, and then there's when we're in there working at 2:00 in the morning doing cartwheels across, trying to keep awake, but hey.
Yeah, so there's also the synergy of people who can build off of each other.
Absolutely. And we do have such a high percentage of entrepreneurs here. It's really fantastic.
I think it's because really it's hard to do other things. I mean, if you want to live here, you have to come up with a way to. And that's my philosophy. Like, after having moved here as somebody who didn't grow up here, go to HSU and just stay, which seems to be what happens to a lot of people. And it results in a community full of really smart, really intriguing, really interesting people who are forging their own paths so that they can stay. You don't hear people say, I can't wait to get the hell out of here. That never happens here.
Like, they do, I say, bye.
If they do, they're on their way out already. But like in the Bay Area or like major metropolitan areas, you hear that a lot. And you don't hear that here because you hear people like working really hard to be able to stay. and create their life and figure out how they can keep themselves here.
Well, and also there's something about Humboldt County. We're removed from a lot. We're isolated. And I think that attracts people that are self-sufficient, people that think outside the box, that think of ways to solve problems, because you have to, even if it's just you're building something on your property and you've got to figure it out because you can't get what you need up here. You have to figure it out.
Right. And you're saying a lot of different ways you do that, including, and you sort of skipped over it quickly, but you're tracking trends out there in the global.
Yes.
Out there in the world. So you're listening to Thursday Night Talk tonight on KHSU. I'm Jacqueline Devitz, your host, and in the studio with me are Kimberly Hudson of Propulsion, Jess McGinty of Jessica Curl, and Charlie Jordan of Mad River Brewing Company and Kinetic Coffee. We're discussing niche manufacturing businesses and innovating in a global economy behind the Redwood Curtain. If you'd like to join the conversation, please call us at KHSU 826-4805 or 1-800-640-5911. So Jess, talk about global. You are 25% or something in Europe. How'd you get there?
How crazy is that, right?
Yeah.
How do we get there? I mean, everything that we've done has been word of mouth on the internet. I mean, from the starting of the business to most of the growth, it's all customers talking about it, which is amazing because it's authentic. And I think authenticity is our sort of name of the game, as you might have guessed from our startup story. But so if it weren't for the internet, none of this would have happened in the beginning anyway. But blogs and message boards and word of mouth, guerrilla, oh my God, my hair looks amazing, you have to try this stuff, kind of enthusiasm knows no bounds. You know, that doesn't stop at the border of North America. And so that's how we broke into Europe unintentionally. And it's crazy how much we sell.
25%?
Of our wholesale business.
Of your wholesale business.
Which is all right. I mean, it's crazy.
So you sell wholesale to stores and also online?
Mostly
direct?
Online. So mostly we sell wholesale to websites that then resell it online to their customers all over Europe. I mean, it's so fun to Google Jessica Curl and not understand a word of what I'm reading. You know, I assume it's good because they keep coming back. But like, it's crazy. And so to also like extend that thought out and just trip myself out a little bit sometimes and think like people all over the world wake up every morning and I am part of their daily routine. You know, get up, brush your teeth, wash your hair.
Put your Jessica Curl in.
Yep. There they are all over Europe. It's ridiculous.
So what's the difference between selling in U.S. and Europe?
Well, right now,
how many differences can we cover?
Oh dear, yeah, we're dealing with some stuff right now with Europe. Everything was going fine until they put down this decree that all cosmetics coming into Europe had to be certified by the European Union as of July 11th, and we knew it was coming. We've been working on it for over a year, you know, and I saw in your show prep notes, your question was, are there any hoops to jump through? It's more like flaming, blazing hoops of bureaucratic, like, I mean, it's
obstacle course.
They're
from
not just
here
hoops.
To Paris.
Yeah. and we've, you know, we've been working on it, and it's not like we dragged our feet, but everybody had been working on it too. And you have to have, it's called a responsible party in Europe, and, you know, the safety assessor and all these things. And anyway, it didn't happen in time. So as of July 11th, we're not legally allowed to sell our products in Europe.
Oh, no. So you had to cut that off.
Yep.
Which cuts off money.
A lot of it. Like, yeah. So what business can afford to just completely cut that off?
25%.
So what timeline are you looking at for this to be done? Do you even have any idea?
Any day now, any day now, any day now.
So know? Everything's in, you're waiting for them to respond.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yeah.
All right. Well, Emma from Arcata. Hi, Emma.
Hi.
Do you have a question?
I do. And I have to say, I am so intrigued and inspired by these ladies in this conversation.
Aren't they great?
I am, because I just moved back here for the third time. I didn't grow up here. Mm-hmm. And I've actually moved 22 times all around because of theater. And I moved back here for the same reason, because, you know, I missed the community. Mm. But I'd like everybody else, I'm having a hard time finding a job. And there have been times when I have had an idea, didn't write it down. That was my mistake. I will always write it down from now on. But if I do have an idea for a product, and I'm not an entrepreneur, but, you know, now I'm getting ideas. Where would I start looking for other people in this community to make that idea materialize? And I did only tune in a little while ago, so you may have covered this, and I apologize if you have. But can you give me any idea where I would start?
Yes, absolutely. Go to the SBDC.
I was going to say that.
They are
Let's
wonderful.
Bang that drum right out the gate.
They are wonderful and delightful.
The Small Business Development Center.
Small Business Development Center.
In Eureka.
Yeah. It's at 520 E Street between 5th and 6th.
Phone number, actually, we don't know the phone number.
That's okay.
It's on speed dial.
445-9105.
Jacqueline knows it. Well, yeah, you would know it. It is. Yeah. You cannot be overstated the helpfulness of the SBDC. Mm-hmm. I'm not just saying that.
And you go there, you can take classes, you can get free advice on your business, on your finances, on your business plan, on the viability. It's remarkable.
Sometimes they'll even let you just come in and cry.
Oh, yeah.
I can tell you that from experience.
Well, see, that's what I love about the community. I mean, if you go in and cry and they empathize with you, I mean, that's why I came back to this community, because it's so great to me. Everywhere I go, people are friendly, and people just communicate with you in a different way than I experienced when I lived in a big city. And, you know, it was hard going from a place that, you know, if you want coffee at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can go, you know, 5 minutes to the store and buy it. It's a culture shock coming back here, which also kind of confused me, because I don't remember it being that way. But, you know, we are very cut off, and I definitely see your point about, you know, having to create things for yourself. And I am very self-sufficient, and that's why your conversation really struck me. Hey, you guys have given me, you know, you've been an inspiration now, and I hope that I can, you know, come up with something that people need, because that's the thing about, I think that there is a lot of waste in the world, and I didn't want to ever put something out there that people don't need and is just going to end up as refuse somewhere. But, you know, it sounds like you guys have come up with some great products that I know everybody uses.
Aww.
Especially that, you know, I was in Portland, and I was in a restaurant with a friend, and she had a beer.
Yes. Charlie's going, please be me, please be me.
It was right before I moved back here. She took one sip, and she said to the waitress, "This is the best beer I've ever had."
Of course it is.
That's so awesome.
I'm not even going to say the name, but she said, "Oh, it's this," and I said, "Oh, it's from Humboldt County. I know exactly where it came from." And it was so, I mean, it was, that's how I knew. I mean, that was like a sign from the universe. I was definitely coming back here.
Oh my God, dude, that's
I
so
know.
Cool.
Well, you should definitely go out to Blue Lake tomorrow after evening. You know, it's a great place
to be.
There's
probably a band. There's always like,
and there's sun.
And it's always sunny in Blue Lake.
There's music,
always.
And there's food, and there's beer.
Yeah.
Yummy, beautiful yummy thing. And you can meet other people, and you could ask them the same question about your idea.
Yeah. You know, and I've just come back here. I think I've been here 6 weeks now, and I'm still kind of reintegrating with the community. My friends are here. But, you know, a lot of people that were here before aren't, and I feel like I need to go and just, you know, reconnect with people in the community. And I would actually love to do that with you guys.
There's a there's going to be a girls' night out Mad River
and
Brewery.
And the KHSU Leadership will be coming. So for you, the BizNet number, which is at SBDC in the Prosperity Center, we created it for quick answers to business questions, and that's 445-9035. They can enroll you in free startup workshops. There's a series of three of them, which are a great way to kind of get your brain around what to do for business. and you'll network with some other people, but they're not like, you know, generate ideas thing. There are other places for that. I hope that helps you.
It does. Thank you so much. And I'm going to go on the internet now.
Right on. Thanks for calling.
Great. All right. Well, thank you, ladies.
All righty.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Hi. Thanks for calling and listening. If you'd like to join us, it's 826-4805 and 1-800-640-5911. So Jess was talking about the Flaming Hoop obstacle course from here to Paris.
Yeah, pretty much.
Any day now.
Yeah. And so it'll, you know, my mantra is I didn't work hard to fail today or this week or tomorrow or this month. And you just have to lead with that. You have to have that be the way you think or you get or what? Yeah. Like, you know, so it'll work. We are working it out. We are working through it. We have our customers, our wholesale customers in Europe, like begging us, like, can I at least tell you what I want? When?
So you don't run out.
Don't forget about me. Yeah. So that when you are ready, we're ready for you. And, you know, so it, you know, it's validating in that regard that, you know, they're ready for us to come back online. But it reminds you that it's, you know, they don't call it work because it's always fun and it's part of business. It's a challenge and it's humbling and you just power through. And we have other things that we're working on that are awesome that we're going to, you know, bust out with eventually that are great and everything, you know, it's the ups and the downs and the ebbs and the flows. And that's just, we're in a part of it that's been really challenging lately. And so thanks, Europe.
So, Jess, I have a question. Once you get through this certification, is that it? Or do you have other things that you're going to have to do to
satisfy? No, that'll be it. I mean, that's what's so, that's great. You know, that's, and frustrating as well. Like,
so one little barrier, and then you're through.
Right, yeah. And woo-hoo. But what's frustrating is that we've been selling in Europe for 10 years. Nothing about our products has changed. The only thing that's changed is what they want to do, you know. And then it just changes the whole entire landscape of what you're doing. So that I take with a... It's a hard pill to swallow, you know.
Right. How far in advance did they let you know that you needed to get this certification?
Oh, it's, I mean, we've been working on it for over a year, like I said, and it's just, it's a long, because it's like a Russian doll full of onion peels. You know, you find here, I have lots of crazy analogies for this stupid thing. You find one thing and then you have to do another three things like that, that creates. And so that's just, it is how it is, but... So it wasn't like it snuck up on us. It wasn't like we procrastinated, you know, it's just
persistence.
Yeah, just do it.
But I think that's something that as a business owner, entrepreneur, you know, you have to keep your eye on the global market or at least your market, whether you're global or not, and look at what's happening. What are the trends? Are there... barriers that are coming up, whether they're competitive barriers or whether they're legal and legislative barriers, and those and it changes all the time. The competitive landscape changes all the time, and I think that's one of the things that it's easy to get complacent about if we're, you know, here in Humboldt County, because we are pretty insulated in a lot of ways, and those businesses that are successful, in my opinion, that do sell outside of the county, and I think I know mine do, and yours do, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So I think it's important to have the discipline to get out there into the, you know, outside of Humboldt County, and get into the other markets or all of your markets if you possibly can, and really look
how
at
do you
the
do
trends.
That?
You know, I actually do get out into
physically.
I go out. I talk to a lot of people. I do get online. You can get a lot off of online, but you don't necessarily get all of it online. You know, there's certain things that you just have to be in the environment
with the customer. You mean
yes?
Yeah. Yep. Same here. There's a certain on the ground intelligence that only happens when you're there.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, that's something that is a challenge. We were talking about that before we went on the air. That's something that's a challenge doing business up here is our airport situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's expensive and it
it's usually late.
Reliable. Sorry, I'm going to say it.
Yeah, well, they're in negotiations.
They are.
At least two.
We need it.
Wanted awesome. To be here. Two yeah. different flight routes. So
good.
Good.
It's Thank moving. You. It's moving. Yeah. It's very positive.
Good.
Yeah. That's Hallelujah. Good.
Our team has been invited to come to headquarters.
Nice. Good.
Yes. So good. Very promising.
Good. Yeah. Well, it's definitely needed. That
very
is,
much.
That yeah. is something that is needed.
Well, I'll drink to that.
I was going
to
say, yeah. we should start Where's our the beer? Own service.
Yeah. Right? yeah.
I think somebody said that if you add up all the money, all the revenues, and all the costs in the airline industry for the history of it, nobody made money. So you might want to think twice about that.
Okay.
But yeah. anyway, it is a need, and it is something that our community has to come to grips with, that we're not going to solve it once. It's
right.
going to be an ongoing service that we need to figure out how to pay for. Other communities do.
Yes.
Mammoth pays every year out of their transient occupancy tax for an airline to service Mammoth.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. San Diego is paying money for airlines
Most
to service.
Most communities do.
Most communities pay somehow to get those airlines in because it's tough. So that's just something we kind of reset our head about. We didn't know that, I think, until about maybe like a year ago.
That is paradigm shifting. To put it that way. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
You want it, pay for it.
It's not going to be a one-time thing. It's really a service.
Right.
And it's so important to our economy.
It is. It is. It's crucial to our local small businesses. Because, at least for myself, driving 5 hours each way is not...
It's expensive.
It's expensive.
In a lot of other ways.
Absolutely. Right. At least if I'm waiting in the airport, I can be working.
It's not an easy drive.
Yeah. Time is expensive.
Time is expensive, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we need airport service to touch our customers, market our products.
And go see factories.
See factories.
Go to trade
check
shows.
Check trends.
I was just trade, trade shows, all that, yeah.
Absolutely. So you go to trade shows also?
Yes, I go to trade shows.
Are those called beer festivals?
Oh.
I think they're called parties.
No, this is serious business.
I know, I'm teasing, sorry.
Yeah, and they're kind of like parties.
I know.
Yes, we have events. We have trade shows. We have festivals. We have all of those. And you must drink. It is a rule. You must drink. You have to check out the competition.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. We feel so sorry for you.
Small bits to manage that. It is harder. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I can't hold it. I can't drink as much anymore as an older woman,
no.
I guess, or post-childbirth or whatever it is, but my body is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely different.
Definitely.
Yep. But it's still yummy.
Yes. Something to look forward to. So, is there a difference between working for a company or running a company that's locally focused versus export-oriented?
Boy, I would certainly
yes,
say
definitely,
so.
Yes, definitely. There's a lot of extra costs and organizational hurdles involved in selling externally from Humboldt, from the area.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of shipping, transportation. All of that becomes a hurdle.
It's like you pay the dues to be here.
You do.
It's an additional dues that you pay.
Because it's definitely more expensive to be here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at least one company's calculation of that cost, Cypress Grove Chev, has told me it costs them 8 times more to move their cheese from Arcata to San Francisco than it does to move the cheese from San Francisco to New York City.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
Mm-hmm. And that's just because of our road. Our highways in and out don't allow STA trucks, which are standard side trucks, so they can't put it on the truck once. They have to put it on the truck, then they have to take it off the truck, they have to wait for the next and put it on the next truck in order to get it. And it's a fresh product, right?
Right.
It's got a shelf life.
Wow.
Right.
And some of us get a lot of cheese because the shelf life is short, right? So that's just one story. I having collected a lot of stories about STA truck impacts. It's also for beer, right? Which is
for beer.
Fresh, not as fresh, but it's got a shelf life it's heavier.
Yes.
It's so heavy.
And beans are heavy.
Yeah,
that's
so you got to bring them in
and take them out. Yes, exactly. At Yakima, that was huge. We did the calculation. It was a big price to pay to be here. Yes, absolutely. That is a consideration when you're dealing with products that you ship out. But even though you just ship in smaller quantities, you still have liquid and all kinds of, right?
Mm-hmm. That's and all of our ingredients are coming in. So it's similar in that regard. I mean, they're coming in separately. We combine them into products, and then we ship them back out. I mean, other than the water, clearly we're not shipping water in. But
we have lots of water. Anybody want to come up with a water product?
Right?
We have lots
Please
of water
use
in
it so we don't lose it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's and our product is heavy too. You know, it's not in a glass bottle; it's in a plastic bottle, so it's less heavy than beer. But it's largely water, so that's frustrating when you think of it that way. You're really shipping out a lot of water.
Good water.
Yes. And it makes your hair nice and soft.
Good water.
It's expensive.
So that's our competitive disadvantage.
Yep.
What are the competitive advantages of Humboldt companies exporting?
Definitely the small business infrastructure and support, like the SBDC, I think. I mean, I know that firsthand. Like, the SBD, literally, when I came up to move or, like, look for a place to live, that was the first place that I went, even before I even moved here. I mean, I've taken full advantage of that. And, I mean, our SBDC outperforms others in the state every year, and we're so small and remote, and yet we still outperform, like, major areas. That's amazing.
It
you
is.
Know? And so when we say to Emma, call the SBDC, we're not trying to get her off the phone. You know, we're saying, no, really, it's actually extraordinarily helpful. That is definitely that. But then also, like, what my experience has been as well is that we've got the formal, structured community business support, but then there's the informal, where I remember, like, within the first year or two of living here, I saw... It was the first time that I met John and Natalie from Fire and Light, and they were doing, I don't even remember, maybe it was Prosperity Center who put these on, the Fireside Chats.
Mm-hmm.
Was that you guys?
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And John was doing it at the Positive View Room, and he said one of his pieces of advice was to call people in the community, the other businesses that you admire or have something in common with or could learn from, and, like, just take them out for coffee, you know, because you can learn a lot that way. And so I, like, walked right up to him at the end. I'm like, I would like to take you out for coffee because you seem like you know something. And, you know, I didn't know anybody. I had just moved here very recently. But that kind of informal, like, help each other out. Can I take you out for coffee? Pick your brain about this. Like, our businesses are actually really similar in a lot of ways and are entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
They make a product out of glass and we make shampoo, but we're talking about the same things where you're shipping out of the area. It's really heavy, da da da. That is something that I think is a community advantage that helps to offset some of the disadvantages, because you can do that to just about anybody. And yeah. I've now been on, I'm constantly on both sides of that table. You know, like, I was out answering somebody else's questions the other day, and then just as often I'm picking somebody else's brain, you know.
Right. Well, so there's a large economic development infrastructure here, but relatively very large for rural areas. So we've got two lenders and the SBDC in multiple locations. So the REDAC, AEDC, and SBDC. I'm using all acronyms. Sorry about that, people. And the County of Humboldt. And HSU and College of the Redwoods are all participating somehow in economic development. So there's a very strong network of that. And no matter who you talk to, you can find somebody else. And a lot of us are very well connected with the business community, so we can make those introductions for you or have fireside chats.
That was fun.
You were going to add something.
I was going to say also another benefit is, even though shipping in and out of the area is exponentially more expensive, the cost of living here is less. And so that makes it to where you can pay a living wage to your employees without having it impact your bottom line as much, which is huge.
I think there's definitely some benefits to, and like you were saying, really collaborative. And that's, mm-hmm. I think, what we've been Absolutely. Talking about. I think mm-hmm. the local business area and entrepreneurs and owners are pretty, for the most part, collaborative and very helpful with one another. Mm-hmm. But I think that the other advantage is that we have a lot of creativity and we have a lot of persistence for success. And the people that are here really want to be here, and the people that are they're grateful for the work, for the job. I think that adds to the collaboration and the teamwork, and they're like, yeah, I'm not going to make as much money as I could if I was in the Bay Area, but oh my God, I get to do this, that, and the other thing, and I get to live here, and I get to have that scenery, or you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And they appreciate and value that trade-off, and I think that creates a really positive work environment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Here's an example of that. One of our summer interns, he was putting together a 3D printer for us. And we now have two 3D printers, potentially a third one, really nice one coming online, if anybody out there needs 3D printing. But they have decided...
Is that like rapid prototyping?
Correct.
Right?
Yes,
so you
correct.
Can put in a schematic and it will actually spit it out with this... cool stuff.
Yes.
Right? And you can hold it in your hand, turn it around, and see what it actually looks like.
Yes, you can.
Very
and
cool.
Another thing you can do is you can make it to where you can have a mold so that you can, a 3D printed mold, so you can then extrude some sort of rubber.
Plastic
in there.
Some kind.
Yeah, absolutely. And have that kind of malleable prototype as well. Mm-hmm. But what I was saying is one of our summer interns brought one of his friends on board with him to help. He moved down to Sacramento for a month, decided, no, this isn't what I want. I want to come back up to Humboldt, and approached us about starting their own business doing 3D printing with some support from us, including some office space to start. And so we're getting to spin off this other business because it's such a supportive, collaborative environment, and because these young men want to be up here doing this.
That's awesome.
It is.
That's great. What about the redwoods and the beaches and stuff? Is that part
of
it?
Yeah, not a draw at all. I don't know. It's, you kind of have to put up with that to get to work. Yeah,
I don't think it's sort of in the way.
Yeah, you mean all the blueberries and peaches I'm harvesting right now?
I don't know why everybody thinks that's so great.
I've actually had entrepreneurs talk about how just having that, being able to walk in the redwoods and reflect, actually makes them more productive.
Yep. Absolutely.
It's amazing. Absolutely. It's like you still get that little shiver just driving to work. Like, I live here. What the heck is that about?
Or to be able to take off on your bike through the bottoms and just ride. You see cows,
right?
I know.
Sometimes they're like right in your way.
They're on those bottoms.
Get out of the way,
cars,
man.
Trying to hit you.
All right. Well, listeners, if you'd like to join us, it's 826-4805 or 1-800-640-5911. I'm here with Kimberly Hudson of Propulsion, Jess McInty of Jessica Curl, and Charlie Jordan from Mad River Brewing Company and Kinetic Coffee. We are talking about how we innovate and have manufacture products right here in the Redwood Coast. So are there particular challenges other than shipping, like to manufacturing products and selling in a wider world, like that we haven't kind of touched on?
I think when you are selling to a global market or at least a national market, there are other challenges that are out there that we don't necessarily have here in Humboldt and we don't necessarily have the resources here in Humboldt to take care of. And that would be legal services, patents, copyrights, that type of thing. And maybe how to, an expert in a specific, like a really specific field, whether it's getting through the EU certification or whatever. I mean, if you need to fast track that, where are you going to find somebody that is knowledgeable and is an expert in that can fast track it? So those are some of the other challenges. Mm-hmm. But again, I think if you're networking in your industry and keeping your contacts and your network alive outside of the Humboldt County area, then hopefully you'll have some contacts and be able to get some help. But you have to look for it. It's not necessarily right around the corner here in Humboldt. Right.
And in our innovating, we try as much as possible to look for local people that can fulfill those needs. But most of the time, we have to go outside the area. And that's one of the drives of our business, to up the intellectual capital of Humboldt County and to be able to keep those people here that are programmers, that are experts in these more specific fields.
Mm-hmm. And, okay, we have a caller. Chris is on the line.
Yeah.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
You
know, I'm listening to the conversation tonight and very impressed with it. I'm not an employer. I'm an employee, but I came up to Downard County, Crescent City, 5.5 years ago. I just want to say I brought with me a profession that's needed in the community. I feel like I invested in the community. The community invested in me 5.5 years later. Mm-hmm. Among other things, I was heard mention the reasonable cost of living and being inventive and doing things so you can stay in this area. 5.5 years later, I own my own house. I'm very happy here, and I plan to stay. So it's good to hear this kind of conversation because, yeah, so many people are here or come from out of area, and all they can say is how they can't wait to leave, and they're not thinking. They can, among other things, in my profession, you'll hear them say, well, if I go down to the Bay Area, I could be making this much more money. But you're not thinking because the money filters are in place there. What are you making at the end of the month? You know, because this is not what you get on your paycheck. How much are you saving for yourself at the end of the month? And not very much. I've done very well here in the on the North Coast, and I'm very happy here. So it's good to hear this conversation promoting this sort of thing.
And what's your profession, Chris?
Oh, I'm a paramedic.
Oh, thank you so much for doing that.
Oh, well.
It's a woman with a heart condition.
Well, yeah, thank you.
yeah, that's a gift. Seriously, that is a gift to the community.
Okay.
Yes.
You have a safe evening.
You too.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, he's
thank
like,
you.
I want the night off. You all be safe.
Yeah. There are lots of professional needs in the community and a lot of demand occupations. People may say there's no jobs, but I'm constantly dealing with businesses who can't find the talent to do the job that they do have. And so, you know, it's hard to have both those conversations in the same room. Accountants, almost anything counting numbers is a demand occupation here, and we need more of them. You could certainly work out of your home and be a bookkeeper.
Yes.
And make a good living. You know, all the way up to being a certified public accountant and to just, you know, handling cash well at the front end is important.
And something else that I thought of that is a challenge for being up here is the medical services.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Most of the time we have to admit that we go out of the area. That's really unfortunate, and especially as we all age.
Or even if you don't.
Yep, get a mixed bag on that one. So we have a couple more minutes, and what goes into making a decision about whether to manufacture a new product or license it or have somebody else do it? How do you make decisions about that?
Go ahead.
For us, we look at, of course, the balance sheet first. We look at the financials. And then we look at a couple of things. Where our belief is in it. If it's something that we really feel strongly about. And we're a startup business, so we don't have this to where we can do this quite yet. Mm-hmm. But it's still a considering factor. Is that if we really, really believe in it, if we feel it's going to really affect people's lives, help people, help the world, something like that, and it's not going to break us, we might still consider it. But for us, still, financial is the number one consideration because we're a startup. It has to be. Mm-hmm. But we do consider that. We also consider things like manufacturability. Mm-hmm. How difficult is it going to be? How far outside of our realm of expertise is it going to be? Because that ends up taking more time and money.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, the numbers have to work. They do. You know, mm-hmm. we're in business to be in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Business.
Make money.
Yes. So the numbers absolutely have to work. The other thing that we look at, or that I've looked at, is it a fit for the company? Mm-hmm. You know, if you start trying to be too many things to, you know, too many people, you lose sight of you just lose focus, and you're not good at anything. I mean, that's really what happens. And so, is it a fit? And then, does it really help?
All right. So it fit the company, fit your beliefs and your expertise, and does the money work?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Kimberly Hudson, Jessica Curl, and Charlie Jordan.